Welcome in to Locked On Knicks. We have a big win for the Knicks on the West Coast, Gavin. I still can't fully wrap my brain around this, but the Knicks beat the Golden State Warriors 119-104. It was a dominant affair on both ends of the floor. And there's so much to talk about, Gavin, including a huge night from RJ Barrett.
Yeah, career high, 28 points for RJ. He was sublime in this one. Mitchell Robinson dropping 18 in the second half. A very near triple-double for Julius Randle. He was trying to get it at the end of the game. And so much more in a resounding victory over the former world champion, Golden State Warriors. All that and more right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts without a five. Ewing for the win. Yes!
Up, puck left. Now fires it.
He's good! And he's fouled! And he makes
it! Anthony for three.
All right, welcome in to Locked On Knicks. I am Alex Wolf. I'm the editor-in-chief of Knicks blog, The Strickland. He is Gavin Shaw, a play-by-play announcer by day in non-COVID times and a Knicks podcaster, in the case of today, very late at night. This is Locked On Knicks After Dark today. But first, just a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by CBDMD. The holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than the NBA media is sleeping on our burgeoning Julius Randle for MVP promotion that we have going on right now. CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience, and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. And I love taking a nice hot bath. You know, nothing is more relaxing than that. And unwinding from all the post-holiday stress and New Year stress and pre-inauguration stress and all that has been great to just take some CBDMD, pop it in the bath, and just take a nice relaxing dip on my own time, maybe with a candle lit, a little music playing. It's a great experience. So to make it even easier for you guys to get the year started off right, CBDMD is offering all our listeners 20% off your next order when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. So Gavin, I need probably some of that CBDMD with the melatonin and everything right now because I'm a little jacked up and it's 1:15 a.m. because the Knicks have once again shocked me and shocked all of us by beating the absolute tar out of the Warriors in this game. I mean, this was I've no words for how good the Knicks were in this game. I mean, they held off Steph Curry, who's been, you know, periodically turning on God mode lately. And, you know, single-handedly beating teams like the Lakers and the Spurs in recent days. They managed to hold the rest of the Warriors to all in all not great performances. Particularly like Kelly Oubre shot 2 of 11, which granted he's not having the best year in the world. But, you know, a number of other players going 0 for, particularly the bench. I think the biggest thing was that the Knicks really, in a lot of ways, took advantage of the Warriors bench players in this game and their limitations, because the Warriors, like, for as good as they are, don't have a deep bench, and particularly once they lost Draymond Green, who maybe got ejected for yelling at his own teammate. He was yelling at somebody. I think the refs thought he was yelling at Tibbs or something, but he was actually at, people were pointing out he's probably yelling at James Wiseman for screwing up a play before. But you know, that he got thrown out, so that limited the depth that the Warriors had at their disposal. And the Knicks just ran wild, Gavin. 40 points in the first quarter, which was the highest that they've done in a first quarter yet this season. They entered into the half up by 6 points and then just cruised in the second half, had a 26-19 third quarter, and then a 30-28 fourth quarter, end up winning the game by 15 total points. But it felt like it could have been even more than that, if not for a couple little spurts of Steph Curry, you know, being Steph Curry for a minute and hitting a couple threes or whatever to try to sort of break the Knicks back and, you know, get the Warriors back in the game. But, you know, at the risk of rambling on any further with the CBD spot and now the game recap, I mean, did you have any takeaways just from the general game itself before we get into individual players, which obviously featured a huge outing from RJ Barrett?
Yeah, I'm down to just get straight into RJ, because I thought he, I mean, that was sort of my big picture general takeaway, how masterful he was in the first half. What was it? He had something like 18 points in the first half, 20. I know him and Mitch were pretty equivalent in terms of Mitch's play in the second half, but he just had a picture perfect game. I noted it on our Locked On Twitter, but it wasn't just the fact that he was scoring, and like, he was ridiculous scoring. I think it was 18 points on 6 shots in the first half, which is obviously nuts in terms of efficiency. But just the way he was manipulating the Warriors defense, finished with 5 assists. It felt like it could have been quite a bit more than that. His pacing was just so good. Golden State was playing kind of a junk defense and pouring a lot of attention towards Randall, but then when RJ had the ball, they were pouring a lot of attention towards RJ, and the clear implication was just, we don't respect your shooting at all. Whoever is the basketball, every single like defender is going to be locked in on that guy. And RJ, despite that, and despite the fact that Tibbs makes his life about as difficult as possible by surrounding him with zero shooting, and obviously it's not just Tibbs, it's sometimes it's the best option that you have on this roster. But RJ, with the video game degree of difficulty turned up to a 10, he just picked his way through the defense, constantly looking off defenders, whipping passes into the corner, had a beautiful no-look behind the back to Alec Burks in the second half, which Burks missed, but that set up an easy putback slam for Mitchell Robinson. And RJ, I mean, it started at right at the beginning of the game. Alex gets a rebound, immediately pushes the pace and draws the foul. And for a team that, again, has a lot of trouble getting in transition, sometimes you have to artificially create transition opportunities by sprinting off of just random misses. So I love the energy from RJ. Then he splashes a 3 in Curry's face, hits a lefty floater over James Wiseman with his freakish wingspan, freakish verticality. Didn't matter. Another 3. His shot is just looking very clean, similar to how it was the very first game of the season against the Pacers, where his guide hand just isn't involved at all. Looks more in rhythm, looks more confident, clearly putting in a ton of time on it. Obviously, fingers crossed that it lasts. You got to have the feeling that this is just sort of a regression to the mean, or I guess a progression to the mean, where he had that stretch where he was like 2 for 41, and now the last few games he's shooting like over 50% from 3. You got to assume that'll average out and he'll be somewhere in the low 30s by the end of the year. Shot of the game was the little 1-2 step into a running 1-foot fadeaway. Set it up with a behind-the-back move that he's been using a lot. And again, when you watch RJ, I think you were the one who told me this, Alex. I remember in the pre-draft process that I was saying, like, all right, like, I love RJ, but with no shot and like no elite athletic trait, like, how is he going to translate? And you were saying, you know what, you're wrong about that, Gavin, because they tested him and he's elite at deaccelerating. And we've seen the time and time again his rookie year, I think seeing it even more second year, that behind the back, like when he does it, it's not even that he has such a tight or such a dirty handle. And you look at it and you're like, how is he shaking the defender? It doesn't really make sense. The guy's flying off him. And it's because he's stopping so quickly and then turning on the jets again. And it just, his ability to shift gears, even if he doesn't have a great fifth gear, his 2, 3, and 4 are better than a lot of guys in the NBA. Gets people off balance. And then for someone who Historically, doesn't really have great touch. That was just an insanely tough shot. It was a little bit like a Dirk fadeaway in terms of how much power he generated off 1 foot while pulling away from Draymond Green. Obviously didn't have the turnaround aspect, still able to hit it with a high arc. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous shot. Something that never, ever would have gone in from last year. Never, ever would have gone in to him for him early in the year. But he was feeling himself a little bit, got it to go down. And then another thing in the second half that I really like, and it was only one play, and I think it was just to sort of victimize Nico Mannion, the rookie out of Arizona, who looks like someone you'd see at your local YMCA. But Tibbs, wanting to get Mannion in the pick and roll, had RJ set a pick for, I want to say it was Alfred, and then dive to the basket. I wouldn't mind them running something like that a little bit more just because RJ has such good vision and is such a good, quick decision maker. I could see him making nice short roll passes as he's diving to the rim. But in this case, Mannion stayed up and doubled, didn't switch onto RJ. RJ just ducks in and gets an easy dunk. So that was, I think, just about everything I had to say on RJ. But just a very proficient night for him. And he took advantage of every little thing the Warriors gave him.
Well, Gavin, I think we can continue gushing about RJ, or I'll take my turn at least in the next segment. But I do think we should get everybody prepared for the big old football games this weekend with betonline.ag.
Yeah, Alex, I'm always down to talk about my favorite place to bet online, betonline.ag. Are you ready for some football? Conference championship weekend in the NFL, and there is only one place that has you covered, one place we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, I'm putting some big money down this weekend. I like Green Bay against Tampa Bay. I know Tampa Bay killed them the first time around, but Aaron Rodgers at home, I trust him a little bit more than Brady. In bad weather, is Brady's blood probably a little thinned out being in Florida all year? He doesn't have New England to toughen him up for that. Rodgers to Devontae Adams has been automatic all year. I think it's finally time Brady falters a little bit. Look, if he wins this at age 43, then the goat conversation is just, it was probably already over. It's really over at that point. And then on the other side of the conference, you get a healthy Patrick Mahomes. I like Kansas City. Don't totally sleep on Buffalo. They're a really, really good team. I just have too much faith in that Chiefs offense. So depending on what the line is, I would take Kansas City. The point is done.
Well, Kansas City -3. I'm going Kansas City -3 all day.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I love the Bills. I think you need a little experience. Like Kansas City had to lose to New England before they got to the Super Bowl. Buffalo's gonna have to lose to Kansas City before they get to the Super Bowl. I think they'll be back. They're very good. I think Kansas City takes it. Anyways,
what do you think also on KC Buffalo over under 54 points? What do you
think? I'm taking an easy over on that one. I know Buffalo's defense is pretty good, but I just think that game is played in the 30s.
Yeah, I think 35-27 or something like that is in play.
All right, I'm with you on that. The point is, we don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, and we're back to Locked On Knicks. Just a reminder that 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So, Gavin, yeah, you did a pretty good job summarizing RJ's night. I'll gush a little bit over the well-roundedness of it, you know, which you already sort of did, but I loved everything I saw out of him. I mean, just the defense, the passing, the scoring, obviously. I mean, the scoring was phenomenal. The drawing fouls, like everything about what he did was just so good. And he really touched every base. You know, he had some floaters in the lane. Really, I guess the only stone he left unturned was getting his first 30 piece. He got stuck at 28 points. And I swear, I didn't count them, but I think he missed about like four shots to end the game. So like just while he was, I don't think he was forcing it, but he just, I don't know, maybe got the yips like on the precipice of 30 points and just couldn't put in a couple like easy little floaters and stuff. I'm pretty sure that if you would take those shots out, he got 28 points on probably about 13 or 14 shots in this game. If you take away just those last few that missed while he was trying to get to 30, which is just crazy that he was able to be so efficient. You already mentioned he had 18 points on 6 shots in the first half too. Golden State just couldn't do anything to stop him. You know, his guile is crazy. You know, to your point, you were just bringing up, which apparently I brought up in the past, which shouts to past me. But like his deceleration, his control of his body, his ability to just kind of use the significant heft that he has for his size. Not even necessarily that he's, you know, particularly large, like mega, like huge jacked built, you know, like semi Ojale type dude, but, you know, just has such good functional strength, a really strong core and a really good, you know, sense of awareness for where to throw his body into to create space for himself. That showed through on like almost every one of his layup attempts in this game. The 3-point stroke looked pure, to your point. He didn't look like he was aiming his shots, as Clyde would say. He was just letting him rip and doing so confidently. So clearly he's been getting those up in the, you know, in practice and everything again. And the passing was like, man, he's had some good passing games in his career, but like, I know that the assist totals won't knock you out. Like he had 5 assists for the game, but he had some passes that, like, I know you mentioned the one to Burks, that was like a really sweet, like, little like behind the back bounce pass to him that, or I was a bounce pass. I don't know. Chest pass, bounce pass, whatever, behind the back. It was sick. And it got to him. And then Burks kind of flubbed this easy layup and Mitch put it back in. He also had this like gorgeous touch pass to, I believe it was also to Mitch for a dunk, earlier in the game. And he just was, I don't know, he was doing so good with passing the ball, you know, just making quick decisions. He even ran at one point sort of like a little pick and roll with Elfrid Payton as the roll man, and that worked out great. You know, Payton found him for an easy dunk on the inside. Like, that went over really well. I mean, literally any sort of play that you wanted to see out of RJ in this game, you got to see it. Even a good dunk or two, which, you know, is always nice to see from him. So, just a phenomenal game from him all around. I have zero complaints. This is probably, I mean, obviously he set a career high, so it sounds stupid to say so, but scoring isn't always everything. But I would say that on the overall, this was, I think, the best game of his career. And I don't know that it's that close.
Yeah. No argument from me. Do you want to bounce to Mitch next? Because he was another guy who had an outstanding half. Again, in the first, pretty quiet, just didn't touch the ball all that much, got in some early foul trouble. In the second half, absolutely erupts for 18 points. I'll just note quickly, and then I'll throw it to you, Alex. I loved that he got to do this against James Wiseman. I think the fact that Draymond was out ultimately really set Mitch up for the second half he had, because the Warriors' defense was just in total array. Disarray, rather. I guess array is implicitly a good thing, or it's just not a word. But
I'm fully, I don't know, that brings me to The Office. Like, no, there's nobody disgruntled here. Everybody's fully grunted.
Everyone's very gruntled. Yeah, good call. Anyways, the Warriors were not gruntled when Draymond Green got ejected, because that screwed up their night. It's so obvious how incredibly crucial he is to every aspect of their team. And when he's not moving guys around and stopping penetration, like he's just out there plugging holes at all times. And when he's not out there to like stop penetration early, you're just getting a ton of easy lobs for Mitchell Robinson. The Knicks could have maybe even thrown him more lobs, but it was pretty stunning to me for James Wiseman, who coming out of high school and then coming out of Memphis was just considered sort of the ultimate physical freak. And everyone was saying, like, look, you look at the combination of coordination, of size, of bold, I combined bulk and mold, of build, I think is what I was going for, of his build to potentially get even bigger, defensive instincts, wingspan, jumping ability, whatever. And watching them stand right next to each other, Mitch is the one who looks like the number one pick. Not that Wiseman looks shabby, but Mitch athletically just looks like a different animal. Like, he's clearly like an inch or two taller. He jumps higher. He catches the ball better. He runs faster. It always will amaze me, whatever the extenuating circumstances were, that no one wanted to, including the Knicks, no one wanted to take a chance on Mitchell Robinson before the 35th pick in the draft. Like, he just seems like the kind of dude you should have taken a chance on. And then that came into play in the second half. I mean, some of the stuff he did athletically was just freaky, both defensively, like some of the crazy charging block he had on Steph, which was, it felt like Ed Reed breaking on a pass to go get there. It ended up being a foul, but just ridiculous that he got two. And again, I always say this, but it seems like RJ is the only person like ballsy enough to throw him contested tip-ins, where I don't know if it's just selfishness from other guys or lack of confidence in their passing ability, but again, just throw it up there when the Warriors aren't playing a center. It's pretty probable that something good will happen, and it did on that play. He just jumped over Eric Paschal, I can never get his name right, for a little tip-in. Had those 9 third-quarter points, and it was just easy money running to the rim after Draymond was out. My favorite pass of the game came from Julius Randle midway through that fourth quarter. He had a little pick and roll with Mitch, which we haven't seen enough of. Just run more pick and roll with Mitch Tibbs, please. It'll only improve an offense that's bottom three in the NBA right now. And Randle just threw this like crazy hook pass while he was being double teamed, and no one had recovered onto Mitch yet. No one really expected Randle to throw that pass, but that's the great thing about having RJ and Randle's primary ball handlers. They're so tall, they can see over defenders, they can recognize that Mitch is open, and then they can both throw passes from varying platforms to ensure that they get it to him. So awesome second half for Mitchell Robinson. He ate James Wiseman's lunch, and it was great to see.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I think RJ was undoubtedly the best guy throwing lobs to Mitch in this game, and maybe one of the best guys on the whole team to do it. Although, you know what? Shouts to Randle, too. Randle had a pretty nice one to him at one point, too, I think. So, but Mitch was kind of just all over the place, catching lobs from everybody. Clyde, at the end of the game, I think, referred to it like Mitch was having his own little personal dunk contest out there, and it felt that way, and as did Obi Toppin, who maybe we could talk about in just a moment here, because first, I need to tell everybody about Built Bars. And, you know, if you haven't heard about Built Bars, what are you even doing at this point? It is the best tasting protein bar ever. And the new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, my new favorite, by the way, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That joins 12 original flavors, including coconut almond, another one of my favorites, tastes just like almond joy, peanut butter, mint brownie, double chocolate, and peanut butter brownie. All Built Bars are covered in 100% natural chocolate and are soft and easy to chew, so you get that candy bar experience without that candy bar guilt. That's because Built Bars are healthy and great for the health conscious guy. They are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. For example, the coconut almond bar, one of my favorites, has 18 grams of protein compared to just 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. And my other favorite, cookies and cream, has 17 grams of protein compared to just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. So if you're interested in picking up some Built Bars for yourself today, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, guys, we'll be back for our third and final segment in just a second, but we wanted to remind you about Wednesdays on Lockdown NBA. It's small market meets big market. Wednesdays on the Lockdown NBA podcast, join Jake Madison of the Lockdown Pelicans pod, former Lockdown Knicks guest, great dude, and John Carlos of Lockdown Celtics for a look at the NBA week from all angles. Subscribe to the Lockdown NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts. All right, Alex. Let's wrap this one up. Julius Randle, you could tell he was hunting for that triple-double down the stretch of this game. I think Clyde had some comments saying, like, I'm not sure if he's aware how close he is. And I was like, oh, man, he definitely knows. You could tell he threw Mitch a couple of lobs. He was like zipping passes into the corner. He wanted that last assist. Didn't quite get it. But again, on a night where I think I wrote down, like, God, I don't think Randall played that well tonight. He had 16 points, 17 rebounds, and 9 assists with just 2 turnovers. So it shows you what I know. Obviously, not really a great night shooting the ball. Just 4 for 11 from the field, 7 of 7 from the foul line, which I think an underrated part of his season is how well he's shooting from the charity stripe. And it was pretty clear to a point that I can't remember if you made it before we started recording or right at the beginning of the show, but the Warriors' defense was pretty fixated on stopping. Like, every time he touched, he had 2 guys on him and a 3rd guy sort of hovering. And again, this iteration of Julius Randle, with maybe 1 or 2 exceptions on the night, did a much better job handling that than last year's Julius, who would have, like, flubbed and turned it over a bunch. This Julius was like, all right, that's fine. You guys are going to do that. I'm still going to find a way to get my points. And in the meantime, I'm going to start swinging the ball and set up RJ against the tilted defense for a heck of a night. And that's what happened. He was perfectly content taking what the defense gave him. And I think that was sort of the key to the Knicks starting off with 40 points in the first quarter, which is really when I think the Warriors were locked in on him before they started backing off and realizing they had to guard other guys on this team as well.
Yeah, I thought that I think that Randle sort of got thrown off, like many players do. It's not a unusual occurrence from a former defensive player of the year, but he got thrown off a little bit by Draymond. I think Draymond's like the perfect defensive matchup for Randle to contain him. And on top of it, they were, you know, the Warriors were doing the same thing that a lot of teams are doing, and they were throwing pretty liberal doubles at Randle, you know, to try to get the ball out of his hands, try to force him to make bad decisions. And I really don't think he made too many bad decisions. You know, some of the shots he took, maybe he forced up a little bit, but the 9 assists, you know, granted he was stat padding a little bit towards the end there, but I thought he made some really nice reads and some nice passes, and just in general turned in another one of those games where you say, okay, if this is a bad night for Julius Randle, he's an all-star, period. Like, you know, this is quote unquote bad. Then, you know, we know how good can be. You know, there's no truly bad games for him anymore, I don't think. So, you know, it was just another one of those, I think. But still, I mean, again, this is a quote-unquote bad night because of the shooting, and still within 1 assist of a triple-double. Pretty incredible stuff. And I think even once Draymond got ejected, they were still throwing tons of extra attention at him, and I give him a lot of credit for often making the right call out of those situations now versus last year, where you could have expected, you know, him to turn the ball over or make some sort of bad decision. So it's been a joy to see the continued growth of him in that respect. Another guy I wanted to talk about a little bit. I'll give just a quick shout out to Reggie Bullock, who was like, looked like Klay Thompson early in this game. Like, you know, get well soon, Clay.
I just want to note quickly, I literally wrote that in my notes. I was like, did he monster Klay Thompson from the bench? The sense that I got was he was like, oh, this is Golden State. This is the arena where they shoot lights out. You could tell he was just like, he was feeling himself there a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, he ends up with, he had 9 quick points on 3 of 3 shooting from deep, and then ended with 12 points, 4 of 8 shooting overall, but 4 of 5 from deep. Played pretty good defense. Only actually played 17 minutes, I think, because Burks was doing well. You know what? That's a great transition into the next person. Alec Burks made his return after, what, 12 games being off, because he had sprained his ankle in the win over Milwaukee, the first win of the season that feels already so long ago. He had sprained his ankle, been out for, you know, a number of weeks now. Makes his return, and, you know, I think Burks definitely looked rusty. You know, he finished with 11 points, 2 of 7 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3. Did get to the free throw line 8 times, which tied RJ for the best number on the team. Made 6 of those, which also tied RJ. Had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and a block, a really nice block, I might add. One on the perimeter that started a fast break that ended with Nerlens Noel, of all people, finding a cutting Obi Toppin for like one of the most fun dunks of the whole game, which I said I was going to shout out Obi Toppin. The highlights weren't plentiful for him, but he had 2 that were just 2 giant baseline dunks, which is kind of becoming like his signature move as far as his athleticism is concerned. And those were really fun. But, you know, Burks, I thought, found his way back pretty quickly. You know, the shooting percentages weren't there. That's going to take maybe a couple games to come back. You know, he needs to get back into the flow of things, of real game action rather than just practicing, which apparently he's been like back to practice for about a week now. But, you know, he's going to get there. All the indicators were there that he's going to, you know, be the same player, maybe not shooting whatever. He was shooting something stupid, like 75% true shooting or something through the first three games of the season before he got hurt, and averaging over 20 points a game. I think he could still maybe average close to 20 points a game. It will probably, you know, probably even out to like 55 to 60% true shooting if he has like a truly amazing year. He's not going to shoot 75% for the whole year, but regardless, it was a good game from him. I think, you know, despite the shooting not being there, he did everything right. He was making passes. He was making hustle plays. He played pretty good defense, I thought. I mean, I feel like you could just say everybody on the team played pretty good defense, because the team defense was just, this might've been the best. You know, I know that the Warriors scored over 100 points and the Knicks had just held two opponents to like 84 and 75 points in consecutive games. But I think this was probably their best defensive effort, maybe of the whole season. And especially out of the recent stretch of games, there was just, this game was being played with more pace, which naturally led to there being more points on the board. But anyway, Gavin, what did you think of Burks in his return? Cause I did think that was a pretty important return for the Knicks in this game.
Yeah. I saw a number of people pointed out. I just think it was really impressive on a night he didn't shoot that well and clearly was still getting his feet under him, that he got eight free throws, got five rebounds, had a block that keyed a good transition opportunity that ended in Obi getting a dunk. Again, I just think he's a guy that's going, once he gets back in rhythm, and obviously he was very much in rhythm to start this season, he's going to be an absolutely integral part of this team. They don't have anyone else who spaces the floor the way he does. And for people looking for, like, I know the IQ elf debate for whatever reason is somewhat in vogue right now on Nick's Twitter. I don't really get the elf stands in terms of him starting. Like, I get the argument when he's like having a much better night for finishing games, but anyways, it's like 2 a.m. So that's maybe a conversation for another day. The point being, the middle ground on that is just starting Burks and saying, all right, we're going to make RJ. And obviously this was a lot to put on him last year, but I think with how much creation responsibility Randall has taken on, and we've seen Burks play at least in the first few games, like minutes as a pseudo point guard, I think nominally RJ Barrett could be the guy who brings the ball up for you. And you start Burks, RJ, either Bullock or Knox, Randall and Mitch. And that's a pretty healthy middle ground for the people who, for whatever reason, don't want to start Emmanuel quickly. I'd be pretty content with that. I think that'd be pretty interesting. I think it'd be a far better lineup than continuing to stick Elfrid Payton with three non-shooters, because that continues to be. I know that defensively it's been really good, so I think that's the reason Tibbs is keeping them together, because at the end of the day, that's his greatest priority. And the Knicks, after tonight, are incredibly third in the NBA in defensive rating. So, and the Knicks keep winning. So in that sense, give Tibbs all the credit in the world. But if you want to talk about lineups with the highest two-way ceiling, it's either Burks or quickly in that starting lineup. And I'd be totally fine if it's Burks, because I think between RJ and Randall and him, you have enough ball handling to make that all work. And I don't think you'd see a big drop-off on defense with Burks guarding point guards instead of Payton. So you think I would use that as a springboard to talking about Payton and quickly. Instead, I'm going to jump to Nerlens Noel, because I thought he had another sublime game defensively. 4 blocks and 11 rebounds in 20 minutes. To your point, Alex, once Draymond was out, the Warriors were really, really small, and it felt like they were putting up shots on basically a tee for Nerlens Noel to get up and block them. Some crazy stats now from the last couple of games. This one from Brian Gibberman. Noel has 19 stocks over his last four games, so that is just under 5 per game. Mitch has 11, so that's a total of 30 or 6 per night between the two of them over the last four games. Just a crazy, crazy number. They're both top 6 in the NBA in total blocks. 48 minutes of rim protection. The dream is alive and well between Noel and Mitchell Robinson. And if you're looking for a reason, Alex, that despite the fact that the Knicks are, I think, giving up the third most shots at the rim of any team in the NBA, the fourth most three-pointers, it's because they trust their front line, or rather their centers, so soundly. They can get really hard closeouts. And even when guards speed by those closeouts, Noel and Mitch, time and time again, are altering shot after shot after shot at the rim. And I think more than anything else, defensively, they are driving the Knicks to a 500 record.
Yeah, I agree. I think Noel has been playing a lot better lately. And to your point, the Stocks numbers, I apologize. I'm not going to look up the name. So if you're listening, I got randomly like called out on Twitter for saying that Stocks sounds stupid. I like Stocks. I'm sorry. I think it's a cool way to just say steals plus blocks. All right. It's good. Anyway. The Stocks numbers are getting there. You know, he's arguably putting, well, not arguably, like you can literally look at the numbers. He's putting them up at a higher rate than Mitch. And I think that the thing with Noel is that Mitch now is finally understanding that he has to play under control and keep his fouls at bay and stuff like that, which might mean passing up on a block here or there. Noel doesn't really have that issue unless he's filling minutes because Mitch got in foul trouble, which like in this game he did for a little bit, but still ultimately only played 20 minutes. So I think Noel knows, okay, I'm going to be playing like 15 to 20 minutes most night. I can go crazy. I can, you know, kind of sell out for blocks a little bit, sell out for steals a little bit, and generate, you know, events for the Knicks to get the ball going the other way and, you know, get some fast break opportunities, which I think we saw a few times in this game. We've certainly seen in his minutes lately. And it's almost like he's sort of kind of finding his niche with this team at this point. You know, what his role is going to be, which is to be like an extremely high energy defender for them, you know, to really push himself to his limit in his 15 to 20 minutes out there and, you know, give a ton of energy to the Knicks defense and, you know, give them those hustle and just honestly overpoweringly athletic, you know, defensive statistics and performances and stuff. So yeah, been very happy with Noel lately. I do agree. We could save the Quickly and Peyton conversation for another time. Cause it is like, at present 1:48 AM
almost. Yeah.
Yeah. 1:48 AM. And I still got to produce this and get it up for our night owls and for our early morning folks. So, I'm going to call it. This has been, this edition of Locked On Knicks. We'll be back tomorrow night, doing another late night game. Maybe Saturday morning.
Oh my God. I had no idea they played tomorrow. I'm going to die.
Gavin right now is mellow from circa 2012 or whatever. We got another game tomorrow. Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, we got another game tomorrow, guys. We'll see you either late tomorrow or early on Saturday morning. But in the meantime, this has been Locked On Knicks. Peace out. Talk to you.